And we are live from Las Vegas, Nevada, the home of George St. Pierre, who, according to reports today, is going to start USADA drug testing, which means he could be fighting in the very near future. So we'll see how that affects things, but it's kind of an interesting story to start the day off. I am not Pat McNeil, as if you didn't know that. I am in for Pat McNeil today, who is out, but we will have Pat back next Wednesday after he's back from his well-earned time off. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We have got a crazy feud, apparently. Or maybe it's a work, who knows. It is half wrestling and all Hollywood. But Vin Diesel is reportedly the candy ass on the set of Fast and Furious 8, according to a story that's making the rounds. I think it started with TMZ, The Rock, saying how great all of his female co-stars are and most of his male co-stars, but there's one guy who won't man up and come talk to him, and he's a candy ass. And a lot of people believe that that is Vin Diesel. We can talk about that. We can also talk about SmackDown last night, and Raw, and or if you want, we can talk about NWA Legends Fan Fest, where I was last week talking with all the legends, Austin Idol, Magnum TA, Road Warrior Animal, Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, Mickey James, all the cool kids were out at the Legends Fan Fest last weekend in Charlotte. So I've gone from Charlotte to Las Vegas, Nevada, here live on the strip. Nice day here. I think it's only going to be 100. It's freezing. It was like 107 the first day we got here. And then I think it was like about 102 maybe yesterday. You could feel the difference. It's freaking brutal. It's brutal. I don't know why people do this. Well, because they hang out and they gamble all the time, I guess. But anyway. So if you want to call into the show, you can do so. You can call in at any time at 646-721-9828, 646-721-9828. And be sure to push 1 so I know that you want to go on the air, and I know that you're not just listening live. So be sure to push the 1 button so that'll let me know that you're in the queue, so I will know to go to you, and we can talk all that's happening in the world of wrestling today. Also, you can email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Got a couple of questions, particularly some stuff about SmackDown that we can talk about as well. Also, so I mentioned I was at FanFest, and Bruce Mitchell was at NWA FanFest. And I think he mentioned this on Katie Vick is Alive. And I think he's probably mentioned it with Wade Keller as well. But each year they have karaoke. And this year it was hosted by the Sinister Minister, Jim Mitchell. Cool cat. A little weird. No surprise there, but yeah. But anyway, I think I posted video of the crying wrestling fan, David Wills. You know, it's still real to me, damn it. He sang Like a Virgin, and I think I put up some video of that. I also have a video of Bill Apter singing from, you know, all the Bill Apter Stanley Weston magazines. And I've been holding off on this. I have video Bruce Mitchell dancing. It's worse than you think. Seriously. I wasn't going to put it up because it's shockingly bad. But he said I could put it up when I want to, if I want to. So I have his blessing, and at some point, I think I need to put it up, but we'll talk about that. But yes, Bruce Mitchell dancing. I have actual video. It exists, and he's not giving me any ransom money, which kind of pissed me off, but oh well. What are you going to do? 646-721-9828, 646-721-9828. It's the PW Torch Livecast. I'm Jim Bally. 5 days a week, actually 6 days a week, because I do Saturday morning wrestling. We are live here at pwtorchlivecast.com, talking the latest in wrestling and your wrestling memories. and encouraging you to sign up at PW Torch Livecast at pwtorch.com/govip. You can sign up for a ridiculous amount of content. Wade Keller, James Caldwell, analysis from the best in the business, like Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin. Everybody's there. You can sign up for that, so be sure to take a look at that at PW Torch Livecast, pwtorch.com/govip. Can you tell I pushed the livecast? Anyway, Jim Valley in for Pat McNeil. We'll talk SmackDown, we'll talk Raw, and much more coming up next.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
And we're back on the Livecast. Jim Valley in for Pat McNeil on this Wednesday, live from Las Vegas, looking over the Strip. Boy, they're kind of busy out there right now, kind of getting packed out there on the Las Vegas Strip. Hey, I want to touch base with this. I think this is one of the hot social media stories of the day, and also it has ties into wrestling. But Rock, I guess, on his Instagram, ranted about candy asses who were on the set of Furious 8, which is coming out next April. Well, now TMZ is reporting that the candy ass has been revealed and that it's none other than Vin Diesel himself. And Johnson apparently got real in his rant, saying that the unprofessional people, Vin Diesel apparently, was, quote, too chicken shit to do anything about it anyway. Sorry, Wade, but that's the quote. Diesel is one of the producers on the Fast and Furious films, and people are questioning whether or not he really could be acting unprofessionally. But TMZ says the fact that Diesel is a producer could be the cause of the conflict, because Rock is a producer as well, and some decisions Diesel made during production reportedly were not popular with Johnson. The two even supposedly had a secret meeting to try to resolve the issue. So it's kind of interesting. And I've seen some people talk about it online and say that this is studio promotion, that this is just promotion for the Fast and Furious movie, because Rock, even on his Instagram, mentions, you know, when you see the movie next April, he mentions that it's next April, and you see that I look really mad in some of the scenes, well, that's real. And I don't know. So either way, it's out there, Rock and Vin Diesel. You know, it's fascinating. You know, I used to host the Total Chaos radio show in Portland, and I had a makeup artist on the show who was from Oregon, and he's won Academy Awards with Terminator 2. He was like Arnold Schwarzenegger's makeup guy, like all through the 80s and 90s. And I think he's Rock's makeup guy as well. And he was particularly there during Rock's early career, Scorpion King and other things. And of course, at that time, you know, Vin Diesel and Rock were sort of up and coming in Hollywood. And I asked him, I said, you know, if you were to pick one of the two, you know, at that time, Vin Diesel was probably bigger a Hollywood star than The Rock. And he just flat out said, no, Rock's got it all over Vin Diesel. Rock is the man. And here we are some 15 years later. And, well, he was probably right that Rock is the man. But, I mean, we have this kind of money at stake and these kind of egos and these kind of careers, it's not unusual to see these kind of problems. It's not unusual, as Tom Jones impersonators in Las Vegas might say. Anyway, we are live here on the livecast right above the Strip. Let's go to the phone now and take just a couple of calls. Again, you can dial up at 646-721-9828. 646-721-928. Be sure to push the 1 button so I know that you're not just listening online. I know that you want to be in the queue and talk on the air. So be sure to hit that 1 button. I don't tell you that anymore, and I don't know why it doesn't do that. But what do I know? I'm not in charge of blog talk. Let's go to 814. 814, you're on the live cast of Jim Valley. Who's this, and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Ryan, what's going on today, man?
My first question for you is, do you know why SmackDown was allowed to draft 5 NXT wrestlers, but Raw was only allowed to draft 3, even though the rules said each brand was allowed to draft 3 each?
I would say because it's wrestling. Now, when you look at the people that Raw drafted, and you look at the people that SmackDown drafted, I mean, a lot of the SmackDown people, Alexa Bliss, you know, American Alpha, well, not American Alpha, I wouldn't say, but, you know, they kind of needed, I would say, maybe a little bit more seasoning. And I think it's probably smarter to put some of those people on SmackDown as their first call-up because, like I said, they need a little bit more seasoning. Maybe there's nerves and, you know, it's okay maybe to make a few more mistakes on SmackDown, but not on Raw. So I would say that probably has something to do with it. To answer your question about breaking the rules, the answer is because it's wrestling. Pretty much the answer. It's wrestling. That's what they do. Don't think too hard about it. I mean, they've said that for years in meetings. Vince McMahon has said that. You know, it's just wrestling. Don't worry about it. Don't put so much time into everything, so much thought. It's just wrestling.
Hey, what else, Ryan? My question for you is, what do you think the odds are that Ryback wins the TNA title within the next year?
That's a great question. If he goes to TNA, you know, I don't know that he's going to TNA. I mean, that's too early to tell. It wouldn't surprise me, but considering the financial situation with TNA and, you know, he left WWE all about money, you know, I don't know where his head's at as far as, is he going to go, well, okay, maybe I kind of screwed that up and now I need to just make money where I can and he'll go to TNA. Or maybe TNA won't even make any offer because they know that he left WWE, again, because of money. Boy, that's it. You know, that's a tough question as far as, because if TNA was still strong and TNA wasn't just hanging by a thread, I would say the odds are better. But that is sort of the fly in the ointment to me as far as that goes. And also, I mean, here's the deal also, is Ryback... This is what happens with everybody. You leave WWE and you're the hot indie guy or girl, and you're able to command the most money that you ever will on the indie scene. I mean, the only people that have probably been able to maintain a decent amount of money who were in WWE are probably Matt and Jeff Hardy. And they're legends now in the eyes of a lot of fans who grew up with them. And I'm not counting the Young Bucks and other people, Will Ospreay and people like that, because they haven't gone to WWE, and I'm sure they do fine, and I think it's just a different animal. But as far as Ryback goes, it's like right now is his time to capitalize on all those indie dates, and quite frankly, the money marks that are there that are going to want, you know, the big guy on the show. And I also think that, you know, he could probably do, you know, maybe like some shoot videos or live events where he's talking to fans before shows and you make money that way, and he shoots on WWE and everyone is making money that way. So I don't know that he has the incentive necessarily right now to go to TNA, but I mean, basically the way it is, I think people like Scotty Too Hotty, who comes to mind, I think, who's talked about it before. You make the first round and you make all your money, and then the second time the promoters offer you less, and each time you go back, it's less and less and less. So I would say that right now Ryback is probably just trying to book all the dates that he can because he's the new hot indie guy that just came off of WWF TV. You know, I think Cody Rhodes is going through that as well. So that's as far as whether he goes to TNA. You know, the guy who's always a TNA champion, I guess they put the title on Magnus before, and it's not like he's like the greatest, he has like the best matches in the world. So, you know, I could see that maybe like a short run for Ryback. I mean, you got to put him in the main event if you're paying him enough and he's new and he's hot and all of those things. I think it's likely that he'll go to TNA, but the fact that TNA is is hanging by a thread and not offering as much money as it was even up until recently. You know, I think that's a big question mark as far as the Ryback situation goes. Does that make sense?
My final question for you is, do you think WWE will bring back the underdog challenge that WCW did, since they're bringing back, like, jobbers now that have a little bit of a personality, like Sonny Boy and Ellsworth? Everyone's talking about Ellsworth still.
Which one? Who did the, refresh my memory about underdog challenge?
WCW did a, like, underdog challenge that had, like, some of their, like, upstart wrestlers, like Rod Van Dam, Joey Maggs, Mustafa from the Gangsters was in it. I don't know if they ever declared a winner.
This is from the early 90s, then? Is this like a WCW Saturday Night thing?
Yeah, I believe it was also on WCW Main Event and WCW Pro Wrestling also.
Okay, so we're talking 20 years ago at least, if not longer. I would doubt it. I would doubt it. I mean, it could be something you'd put on the network, but I mean, TV ratings are so critical right now that I wouldn't see them wanting to put people with no drawing power and no track record of drawing out there for any length of time. So I would very much doubt that, that they would have got it so long ago. I don't even remember that.
Actually, this meant as a network special. I didn't mean being an actual show, like just like they do, like the Cruiserweight Classic and tournaments they've been doing lately.
I would think it'd be primarily just for comedy if they did it, but who knows? I don't know. I have a weird feeling about that. I don't see it happening. As I shake my magic eight ball here, I don't see it happening.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
But you bet, man. Anytime, Ryan. But Ellsworth, I mean, that guy needs to come back. That guy needs to come back. When I saw someone made a Photoshop of him on the cover of WWE 2K17, I sent it to a friend of mine who works at 2K17. She never got back to me. I'm like, make this happen. Put him on the cover. I'd buy that cover. Anyway. It's Jim Valley in for Pat McNeil on this Wednesday live cast. Be sure to check it out. If you're not a VIP member yet, be sure to check it out at pwtorch.com/govip. You can sign up and just get a ridiculous amount of audio, just an incredible amount of audio, so many hours of wrestling content, plus all the latest news and analysis from some of the most respected people in wrestling, like Wade Keller and James Caldwell, Bruce Mitchell, of course, Todd Martin, so many, Sean Radican, so many other people, Greg Parks, just a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of wrestling. So be sure to check it out at pwtorch.com/govip.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/goVIP.
It's the PW Torch Livecast. I'm Jim Valley and for Pat McNeil on this Wednesday. You know, there's been rumor out there that Mickey James may be going back to the WWE, former WWE Diva, Women's Champion, Divas Champion, TNA Knockouts Champion. I believe she holds the record for the most recognized women's world title reigns in the modern era. She's held like 9 of them, I think, something like that. Anyway, she was at NWA Legends Fan Fest. She was the second Q&A that I did at the Fan Fest last week. And it was funny because she was late because I think she said she spilled coffee on herself and stuff. And she was all freaking out about that because she's obviously, you know, very meticulous with her appearance. And that's great. But she was running late and just kind of very distracted, it seemed, when she was in the back room, in the green room, waiting to go on for her Q&A. And I was a last-minute person asked to do the Q&As. And also in the green room at that time, Jenny Engel, who used to be in WCW, she was kind of the talent coordinator for everything. And also, Jim Ross was there. And for some reason, I don't know why, I don't know if there was an arrangement made or a misunderstanding or wires crossed, I have no idea. But Mickey James was under the impression, and apparently she'd been tweeting about this, that the Q&A was going to be Mickey James and Jim Ross. And she goes, okay, JR, you ready to go? And he's like, I'm not booked. What? But I've been promoting it all week on my Twitter that it's the two of us. I'm not booked. And then I go up to her, hey, Mickey, my name's Jim Valley. I'm with the Torch, and I'm going to be doing your Q&A. And you would have thought that I spit in her coffee because she was just like, oh, well, that's too bad. Oh. And honestly, if you think that was the first time I've disappointed a pretty woman, you are very, very wrong. But yeah, James like, oh, you're doing it. Oh, okay. Oh. So anyway, Mickey James disappointed that I was not good old JR. I'm just good old JV, Jim Valley. But we went out there. We did fine. She's a pro. She had, you know, all the answers and everything. And you know, as we're walking toward the stage, you know, we're backstage walking the hallways, the catacombs, to go to the main room where we did the Q&As. And I asked this of everybody, of Austin Idol, of Magnum TA, Road Warrior Animal, everybody, just, is there anything you don't want me to talk about? Because I don't want it to be awkward. You know, I mean, this is a fan fest. It's good times, it's nostalgia, it's happy memories, and I don't want there to be awkwardness. I have enough of that in my life. So she goes, just nothing vulgar, which I took that to mean her pre-wrestling career, which I wasn't going to talk about anyway, because again, it's a fan fest. It's good times. Someone did ask about returning to WWE, and you know, she was just gave the usual, anything could happen in wrestling, and we shall see. So it'll be interesting, because she was listed as the WWE.com did the top 10 free agents in wrestling and listed Mickey James as one of them. So obviously that's going to get people talking and it'll be interesting to see what happens. You can email us, by the way, at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. This desert air, good God, this desert air is getting to me. But anyway, got an email from Casey Charles, Casey from Laredo. And he wants to know about, speaking of the women's division, he says, do you think Becky Lynch is becoming the jobber for Women's SmackDown? She always seems to be losing to everyone, even though she may be the top babyface in the SmackDown women's division. That's an interesting question. I mean, obviously, by the way, what's up with Eva Marie and the popping out of the top? That was odd, especially since they're going PG. I mean, I guess they didn't show anything, but still, I thought that was... Anyway, I mean, when you bring in Alexa Bliss, you've got to give her a match. I mean, you've got to give her a win, otherwise she's nobody. So, I mean, maybe we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe there'll be a feud between Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. But he's got a valid point as far as Becky Lynch. It's like it seemed for, like, last year before WrestleMania that it was kind of her and Sasha Banks neck and neck as far as popularity. And now, obviously, Sasha is the women's champion and Alexa Bliss is nobody. But also, here's the other thing, is that we're still waiting to see, according to Daniel Bryan in interviews he's done, that there's going to be a SmackDown Women's Champion, whatever they decide to call it. But there's going to be a championship on SmackDown. There's going to be a title belt on SmackDown. And it's the WWE parody booking, the 50-50 booking. It wouldn't surprise me as if and maybe Becky Lynch, maybe they're going to put the title on Becky Lynch and they're creating challengers right now and she's losing so that she can fight Alexa Bliss and she can fight Natalya and whomever on SmackDown. And they'll challenge for the title because she's already put, that's my thought about Becky Lynch, but I still think there's something there. I mean, she's got a great look. She's very interesting looking. I think she catches the eye with the shocking red hair and kind of the steampunk look and everything. And, you know, the Irish thing is kind of different, so that's cool. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Becky Lynch. KC also has another question. He goes, with the brand split, do you think SmackDown can continue to have two women's segments each week? That's a good question. I mean, there's only like five women or so on Raw. Is there six? You'd really burn through all your potential matchups very quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to, switch it up and just see once we get the women's championship on SmackDown, I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be sort of like Raw where it's going to be the focus on the champion and her current challenger. And the focus on the up-and-coming challenger, which we're kind of seeing that right now, I think, on Raw with Nia Jax. I think they're grooming Nia Jax to take on Sasha Banks. I could be wrong on that, but they're grooming her for somebody. At some point, she's going to be the WWE Women's Champion on Raw. And final question, do you think it was heelish for Dean Ambrose to knock out Dolph Ziggler at the end? Yes and no. No, by the fact that it seemed like the fans were all chanting yes, yes, yes. So in that regard, no, it wasn't heelish, because if the fans cheered for it, what does it matter? The other thing I would say is that every time you do a babyface match, traditionally you always have someone who kind of works a little bit heel, if they're not planning on turning somebody. And given Ambrose, because he's crazy, it makes the most sense for him to be the heelish one, which is not to say that he's turning heel, but it makes the most sense to say he's going to be the most heelish one. It's Jim Valley in for Pat McNeil on the PW Torch Livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com. Also be sure to sign up at pwtorch.com/govip. And also, this live cast brought to you by Loot Crate. For just $20 a month, you get a cool box of stuff. Oh, swag. A box of swag each and every month. It could be Star Wars. It could be SmackDown. It could be anything. It could be Ghostbusters. It could be the Avengers. It could be Suicide Squad. It's always cool. It's always hot. If you're into collectibles, if you're into T-shirts, if you're into pop culture, you really should check out Loot Crate. And if you're a first-time subscriber to Loot Crate, you go to lootcrate.com, you enter the code PWTORCH, and you get $3 off. And also the excitement is it could also be Star Wars. because Loot Crate has made a exclusive deal with Star Wars. I mean, there's a lot of loot things and crates and boxes and stuff out there, but I believe, one, Loot Crate is the original, and also they're the only one who made a deal with Star Wars. So with Rogue One coming out this fall, this December, and all of the Star Wars movies, the new universe coming out, one every year, you could get some pretty cool swag from Loot Crate. So go to lootcrate.com and enter the code PWTORCH, and you'll get $3 off all of all the cool stuff there at lootcrate.com.
Do you shop at amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in PWTORCH.com/Amazon. That's PWTORCH.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
And it's Jim Valley in for Pat McNeil on the PW Torch livecast on Wednesday. I did want to touch base a little bit about Raw and SmackDown. And I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. Remember how excited everyone was for the draft show, that there was going to be this new era? And they still keep talking about this new era. And you know something? It looks a lot like the old era to me. Maybe a couple of new people in here or there, and they've been great, but I don't know if it's because of the Olympics, because the Olympics took a huge bite out of Raw ratings this week, and more than likely took a big bite out of SmackDown ratings this week. I don't know if WWE anticipated that and just kind of made kind of meh show, just kind of a show that was just kind of there. I don't know, but it just seems like so far I am nonplussed by everything that's happening with Raw and SmackDown. And I hate to say that because I wanted it to be exciting and a legitimate new era and all that fun stuff, but it is just, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it, dog. I'm telling you right now. I do mention something quick. I was at the Fan Fest last week, and I just went as a fan. I paid my ticket. I bought my ticket. I bought my airfare. I bought my hotel. By the way, I roomed with Bruce Mitchell. Dude throws his crap everywhere. And you know what else he does? This is true. You know what else Bruce Mitchell does? Oh, by the way, he also dances horribly. And you need to tweet me at Jim Valley. Find me on Twitter at Jim Valley and let me know that you want to see the video that I have of Bruce Mitchell dancing. I have video of Bruce Mitchell dancing, and you need to see this, but I want to see if I can get it a little bit viral, at least among Torch readers, because you need to see this, because it's something. I'll tell you that. It's something. By the way, yeah, Bruce Mitchell buys books. He buys, like, a ton of, like, books and old wrestling magazines. He's done this twice now at the Fan Fest that I've shared a room with him, and he sits there in his, like, his pajama shorts, and he curls up reading them like a girl used to do in the 50s or 60s, 70s, 80s, reading teen magazines. I expect him to be on the phone talking about slumber parties, and yeah, I'm just like, you really need to run with Bruce Mitchell. But other than that, he's a nice man. Nice man, everybody loves. Everybody loves Bruce Mitchell, but yeah. So anyway, NWA Fan Fest, by chance, because I did the interviews on my Saturday morning wrestling show. Because I did those interviews, I did Austin Idol, who is great. By the way, I go into the green room because they asked me to do the interview with Austin Idol. And I walk up and I go, Austin Idol, Jim Valley. And he goes, Jim Valley! And he was saying how people are still coming up to him and talking to him about that interview and everything. And Austin Idol and I, we're buddies. We're tight. Me and Idol, we're like Austin Idol and Tommy. We're buddies. It's awesome. But anyway, and then I also did the interview on the PW Torch livecast, which you can find online if you're a subscriber, with Magnum TA, which was also great. And so that, I think those two interviews, I was sleeping on Wednesday night, and that morning, that Thursday morning, I get a text from Greg Price, and he's like, hey, why don't you come and do the, can you do the Q&A with Jeannie Clark? Oh, and can you get here in like 20 minutes? So I jump in the shower, I get cleaned up, and I brought all these wrestling shirts to wear, all these t-shirts to wear to the wrestling convention, because I have no other place to wear them, because I really don't rock the wrestling shirts out in my regular life, because, well, people look down on me for that, but oh well, I'm shallow in that regard. But anyway, I figured since I was going to be on camera, then I had to wear all my collared shirts, which I was going to wear here in Las Vegas. So now I'm rocking the wrestling shirts in Las Vegas. And to be honest, I kind of blend as far as Las Vegas goes. But anyway, so I go down, I see Jeannie Clark, and she's all nervous because she has not been in the United States in 15 years. And she's never done a fan fest, and she's never done a Q&A. And she was great. She's just the sweetest woman. She's very, very nice. She's very kind. And then she brought her 20-year-old daughter, who's going to be, she's going to be 20, or she's going to be 21. I can't remember. But Cassie, who is the daughter of Jeannie Clark and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and she doesn't really look like either of them to me. I don't know. I could be wrong. But Cassie's like really tall and thin and long, kind of strawberry blonde hair and piercings and everything because she's young and British. And then she talks with a heavy accent. And she loves theme parks and roadside attractions, which, well, so we hit it off. So me and Stone Cold's daughter, we're buddies. We're theme park buddies now. So that was exciting. So I do the Jeannie Clark one. That goes well. They asked me if I want to do Mickie James. Then they asked me if I want to do Tony Schiavone. And then they go, hey, we're hearing such good things about you. Why don't you just do the rest of them? And so I did. I got to do the rest of the interviews and stuff. And I didn't get paid, which I was totally fine with, because as I was telling people, you know, I'd rather, you know, rather than sit in the audience and get frustrated by the jerk who's asking the questions, I'd rather be the jerk who's asking the questions. So that was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it, and everyone could not have been nicer. But here's my point, to make a long story even longer. I believe they're going to be streaming these at nwalegends.com. And if you want to go up, I'm sure they're going to charge for these. So it's your choice. I'm not telling you what to do. And I don't really want to give them a free commercial. But Tony Schiavone killed it. He was so freaking hilarious. He told every story he told had a beginning that hooked you in, a middle that was entertaining, and then a punchline that just brought the crowd to tears. You know, he talked about doing interviews with Jimmy Valiant, which was hilarious. He talked about being asked about Ric Flair naked by ESPN. That's not exactly the terminology, but you understand what I'm saying. He just talked about all kinds of stuff, and he was hysterically funny. I mean, this is a guy that we've seen on TV for 20-some years, and he always played the straight guy. The wrestling fans, we're here to see this, you know, and all that stuff. And he was hysterically funny. He was so good. So if you're into those kind of interviews and it's something you want to pay money for, you might want to consider getting the Tony Schiavone stream, because he killed it. Killed it. So funny. Oh my, and all week, all the whole weekend, I couldn't go 20 feet without, one, everyone stopping and saying that they really appreciated the work I did, which was very nice. But then also everyone saying how great Tony Schiavone was. Hilarious. All right, let's go to the email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. This is Mike from Portland, and he says, a lot of us who grew up on the Monday Night Wars were in school. Now we're in the workforce, and many of us are now in management positions. Well, aren't you cool, Mike? Mr. Mike, the manager. So he has to come into work earlier than 9 a.m. He says he has to be to work by 7 a.m. But when he says when he was a kid, he could watch Raw, Nitro, be okay for school, maybe a little bit tired. But now he's got more responsibilities. And basically what he's saying, I'll kind of paraphrase here, that you know, the 8 to 11 is too long and he's tired by 11, you know, and obviously it's like 11:15 and it's almost midnight before he's, you know, going to bed after watching wrestling. So what he wants to know is, his solution is, what if they moved back an hour from 7 to 10 p.m.? I'm not sure what's on USA Network before Raw, maybe a 10-year-old episode of SVU or Charmed or something. But I'm sure that Raw could do a better rating at 7 p.m. than any other show USA Network puts on during that period of time. Actually, you'd be surprised how well those Law & Orders and SVU and, you know, Law & Order and CSI Las Vegas and CSI Fresno or, you know, whatever they do, whatever they have, those things do really well. Anyway, he wants to know, why not put it on from 7 to 10? Well, here's the thing, Mike, is that primetime starts at 8 o'clock, according to the world of television, and that's when they charge more for advertising. And because wrestling is wrestling, oh, by the way, the sounds at the Bellagio are going right now. How exciting. I'm distracted. Anyway, because wrestling and has lower ad rates, my guess is they put the first hour on at 7, that would slash the ad rates to an even lower amount than they're already at. So that's probably the reason why they don't do that and they have it on at 8 o'clock. But I, for one, would love that. I remember before they had satellite time and they shifted everything, remember the early days of Nitro? My West Coast feed, I could go and watch it at 5 o'clock, watch from like 5 until 8, and then Raw would come on at 9, and I could watch all of it together, and it was brilliant. And then after a couple of years, they finally shifted it where Nitro was on at like 8 o'clock my time or 9 o'clock, whenever it was. It was on the exact same time as Raw, just like it was on the East Coast. Man, that really was annoying. I hated that. Anyway, That's kind of my thought on that whole deal. All right, we got a couple of phone calls to get to. We'll get to those coming up next here on the PW Torch Livecast with Jim Battley in for Pat McNeil.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else, editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
And we're back on the PW Torch. It's Jim Battley on this Wednesday for Pat McNeil. And go to the phone. Let's go to 347. 347, you're on a live cast. Who's this and where are you calling from?
This is Magic Mike, and I'm calling from Staten Island, New York.
Hey, you know, walking around Las Vegas, they have Magic Mike slot machines now. And they're bringing a Magic Mike show to Las Vegas, probably to compete with like Chippendales and Thunder Down Under and stuff. So there you go. What's going on, Mike? What's on your mind?
Well, that's cool if you're into that sort of stuff, but I'm a ladies' man, you know, huh? Anyway, I wanted to tell you that if you go to NWALegends.com, there's a link to your interview with Austin Idol. When you click on the button, it takes you right to PW Torch Livecast.
Oh, nice. How nice of them to do that. That's great. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to ask you, what's your thoughts? What is your thoughts on Eva Marie? Like, what the WWE is doing with her angle?
You know, it's not like she's known for being the best wrestler in the world. I mean, she's sort of a throwback to the Divas division, really. You know, where she's the very, very attractive woman who doesn't really have much wrestling skill, but again, is extremely attractive. And, you know, make no mistake about it, WWE is very much a telegenic business, and she certainly is telegenic. My guess is they're going to keep doing this. There'll be various reasons, probably some more that are borderline sexual, some that are not, as to why she won't wrestle. And then, you know, whether there's a payoff or not, it's hard to say, because a lot of times WWE starts with stuff like this, and if the performer is unable to pay it off in the ring, sometimes stuff like this is dropped. So whether or not there's going to be a payoff, it's really hard to say. I don't have an answer to that question, but I think it's going to be a running gag for a while, either until they get to a payoff or until they lose interest.
I think you're right, but I also think she's gotten a lot better.
She's gotten better, and clearly, from what I understand, she's worked very hard to her credit. I mean, she's trying and working hard. In that regard, she's more than just a pretty face, but at the same time, she's been working for a very long time and probably hasn't improved as much as she should have. But again, she's very attractive, and who knows if she has powerful friends and powerful places in WWE.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you and have a great show.
There's Magic Mike calling up. Appreciate the call. Dial in at 646-721-9828. 646-721-9828. Jim Valley in for Pat McNeil Wednesday. And let's go to 862. You're on the live cast. Who's this and where are you calling from?
It's Kylan. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's going on, brother?
Oh, not much. Getting ready for NXT and the Cruiserweight Classic a little later. Glad you enjoyed your experience at FanFest. I hope to potentially join you next year if funds work out properly.
Well, I don't know that I'm going next year. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm not even sure what I'm doing after I get done with this live cast in like 5 minutes. So don't count. I mean, I could go, you never know, but I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm also not saying for sure that I am. It's just the way my life works. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I understand. I was just kind of throwing it out there for you.
I think you'd have a very good time there. I think you'd have a very good time. You know, everybody's really nice. It's very much like a family reunion in the sense that, you know, I mean, a lot of people from the Carolinas go and a lot of people went to shows together. A lot of people remember each other. And that was kind of one of the reasons I was happy to do the Q&As, was because then it gave me the possibility of being able to engage with people and people coming up and talking to me, and then I could be involved in all the conversations, even though I wasn't, you know, part of the family, so to speak.
I'm sure that was so. My question for you, since you do our nostalgia show with Saturday Morning Wrestling, is, if you were in charge of running the WWE Network, what changes would you make to the way, say, programming is structured or content that is placed on it?
Well, it's my understanding that a lot of the retro content is not accessed a lot, that most of the stuff that is accessed is the newer stuff, the Swerve, the guys in the cars, whatever they call that show. I can't think of it right now, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, Camp WWE, Dinner for Three, you know, all of the new kind of stuff that you could basically shoot with three guys and a GoPro. All of that stuff is like the most... Yeah, all of that stuff is the most accessed content aside from the pay-per-views and NXT. And I think that that could change if you would... You would, you know, funnel people and promote people to other stuff. If you know, on Raw, you would say, hey, you know, 1990 or 19, here we are in the summer of 2016, and say, hey, it was 30 years ago, Great American Bash, Dusty Rhodes beat Ric Flair in a cage, and you can see that right now on the WWE Network. Or, you know, you could say, hey, we are going to show, that's not a pay-per-view, but you could show some other pay-per-view at Sunday night in the traditional pay-per-view spot and promote that and give people that destination programming. I think that the network, whenever I see the stream, whenever I bring it up on my device, it just seems like there's just random things. And I'm like, why is that up there? Why are we watching Legends House for the 17th millionth time? Why is this up? Why? You know, just there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason to the programming. I mean, it would be great if they'd show the old 605 show actually at 605. That might be fun. Show, you know, show things where they need to be, so you'd sort of have an idea, if you're a wrestling fan, what was happening on the stream. I think the stream needs to make more sense and be more logical. The other thing I would do is I would have a show like the Way Back Playback, like Pat McNeil and I do for VIP members, where you have, you're showing a pay-per-view. And I think Road Dogg and Josh Matthews kind of did something like this, but they were more mocking. They were making a lot of jokes, and it was just short form with clips. But if you could do a whole pay-per-view with, you know, somebody who knows wrestling and maybe some retired wrestler from that era, and do that same thing with that pay-per-view where you're giving background and you're talking and you're offering context and maybe making a few jokes here and there, I think that would be a very valuable show, particularly for some of the younger listeners.
Right.
All right, man, look, we're running out of time here, Kylan, but I got to get going, but I just want to let you know I'll be back on Saturday Morning Wrestling this Saturday at PW Torch Livecast, the nostalgia show, so the wrestling that you grew up with. Wade Keller's here tomorrow with Interview Thursday. Don't forget, we have Travis Bryant and Bruce Mitchell. They are coming up on Friday, and it's just a ton of audio and a ton of content here on the PW Torch Livecast. And one more thing, Jimmy Garvin told a story about how he was fighting with a fan, and the fan somehow got under the ring, and he's standing above the fan, and the fan sticks his head out, and Jimmy Garvin, standing above the fan, takes his thumb, like a spike, and pushes it down into this fan's eye, who's looking up. And he said he kept pushing and pushing and pushing until it stopped, until he hit skull or brain or whatever. And he goes, and the guy cried, like a little girl. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, what kind of wimp couldn't take an eyeball to the brain? Yeah, I think I'd be crying like a little girl. All right, we will see you tomorrow on the PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley. I'm out.